ಓಂ ನಮಃ ಪ್ರಣವಾರ್ಥಾಯ ಶುದ್ಧಜ್ಞಾನೈಕಮೂರ್ತಯೆ ನಿರ್ಮಲಾಯ ಪ್ರಶಾಂತಾಯ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಯೆ ನಮಃ. ನಿರಂಜನಂ ನಿತ್ಯಮನಂತರೂಪಂ ಭಕ್ತಾನುಕಂಪಾಧಿತ ವಿಗ್ರಹಂ ವೈ ಈಶಾವತಾರಂ ಪರಮೇಶಮೇಢ್ಯಂ ತಂ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಶಿರಸಾ ನಮಾಮಿ. ಯಥಾಗ್ನೇ ದಾಹಿಕಾ ಶಕ್ತಿ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣೇ ಸ್ಥಿತಾಹಿಯ ಸರ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾಸ್ವರೂಪಾಂತಾಂ ಶಾರದಾಂ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮ್ಯಹಂ. ಪ್ರಪನ್ನಪಾರಿಜಾತಾಯ ಸ್ತೋತ್ರವೇತ್ರೈಕಪಾಣಯೆ ಜ್ಞಾನಮುದ್ರಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಗೀತಾಮೃತದುಗೇ ನಮಃ. ಸದಾಶಿವಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯಪರ್ಯಂತಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರುಪರಂಪರಾಂ. ಭಗವಾನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಟ್ರೈಂಗ್ ಟು ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್ ಟು ಅರ್ಜುನ, ಟೆಲಿಂಗ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಆತ್ಮ ಈಸ್ ನಿತ್ಯ ವಸ್ತು, ಅನಾತ್ಮ ಈಸ್ ಅನಿತ್ಯ ವಸ್ತು, ಅನಾತ್ಮ ಈಸ್ ಸಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಟು ಚೇಂಜ್, ಸಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಟು ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಷನ್, ಸಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಟು ಅರೈವಲ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿಪಾರ್ಚರ್, ಸಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಟು ಶೀತ ಉಷ್ಣ ಸುಖ ದುಃಖ ಮಾನ ಅಪಮಾನ ದ್ವಂದ್ವಾಸ್. ದೀಸ್ ದ್ವಂದ್ವಾಸ್ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ಪರ್ಸಿವಿಯರ್ಡ್. ವಿ ಶುಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ತಿತೀಕ್ಷಾ ಓವರ್ ದೀಸ್ ದ್ವಂದ್ವಾಸ್. ದಿಸ್ ತಿತೀಕ್ಷಾ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಎ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ಸೀಕರ್, being helpful in gaining atmajnanam. One reason for titiksha is they are subject to arrival and departure, anitya vastu, inevitable. Therefore we should have titiksha. It is a nature of the body to have sukha and dukkha. Therefore we should have titiksha. Another reason for titiksha is all dvandvas are mithya, they are apparent only. In fact you, the atma, is never touched by any sukha or dukkha, any dvandvas. You, the atma, is satya vastu, but body, the anatma, is mithya vastu. All the dvandvas are mithya, therefore also you should have titiksha with knowledge. First one is for the sake of knowledge, second one is because of knowledge. For the sake of knowledge I accept certain inevitable choiceless situations in my life. By accepting I keep my mind in a balanced way and gain the knowledge. After gaining the knowledge I find all these dvandvas are in reality, they cannot affect me. Therefore I don't give importance to these dvandvas, being they are mithya. In the last class we saw Bhagavan told matrat prashast kaunteya shitoshna sukadukkadaha agamapayino anityaha tan sidhikshva bharata yamkhinam vyathayantyete purusham purusharshabha samadukka sukam dhiram somrutatvaya kalpate. In this shloka all these ideas Bhagavan told to Arjuna. Then he shifts his view. There was a diversion. Initially he started his spiritual wisdom telling that atma is a nitya vastu, therefore it is a satya vastu. In between he went in another diversion. When Arjuna asked, or when Arjuna had a doubt that I don't have problem with regard to atma, I have problem with regard to anatma only, anatma body, killing the body of Bhishma only I have problem, I don't know what is atma at all, then Bhagavan told even if you consider Bhishma as anatma, then also you cannot complain over the destruction of Bhishma's body, because the body is anyhow it has to get destroyed. Now he is again coming back to atma swarupa darshanam. Nasato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate satah ಉಭಯೋರಪಿ ದೃಷ್ಟೋಂತಹ ತ್ವನಯೋ ತತ್ವದರ್ಶಿಭಿ. ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೊಡ್ಯೂಸಸ್ ಟೂ ಪ್ರಿನ್ಸಿಪಲ್ಸ್. ಒನ್ ಪ್ರಿನ್ಸಿಪಲ್ ಈಸ್ ಆತ್ಮ ಆಸ್ ಸತ್ಯ ವಸ್ತು, ಅನದರ್ ಪ್ರಿನ್ಸಿಪಲ್ ಈಸ್ ಅನಾತ್ಮ ಆರ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಆಸ್ ಅಸತ್ಯ ವಸ್ತು. ಅಂಡ್ ಈ ಸೇಸ್ ಆತ್ಮ ಈಸ್ ಸತ್ಯ ಅಂಡ್ ಅನಾತ್ಮ ಈಸ್ ಮಿಥ್ಯ. ಸೊ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ಲಿ. ಎವ್ರಿ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟೂ ನೇಚರ್ಸ್. ಎನಿ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ವಿ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್, ಇಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟೂ ನೇಚರ್ಸ್. ಒನ್ ನೇಚರ್ ಈಸ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೆನ್ಸಿಕ್ ಸ್ವಾಭಾವಿಕ ಧರ್ಮ, ವಿ ಕಾಲ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೆನ್ಸಿಕ್ ನೇಚರ್. ಇಂಟ್ರೆನ್ಸಿಕ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟ್ ಅಟ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ತ್ರೀ ಪೀರಿಯಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಟೈಮ್. ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಒನ್ ಈಸ್ ಇನ್ಸಿಡೆಂಟಲ್ ನೇಚರ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಗಂತುಕ ಧರ್ಮ. ಆಗಂತುಕ ಧರ್ಮ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಅಟ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಆರ್ ಸಿಚುಯೇಷನ್, ಬಾರೋಸ್ ದಟ್ ಅಟ್ರಿಬ್ಯೂಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ಅದರ್ ಸೋರ್ಸ್, ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಬಾರೋಡ್ ಅಟ್ರಿಬ್ಯೂಟ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಟು ಅರೈವಲ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿಪಾರ್ಚರ್, ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ಸಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಟು ಲಾಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ. ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್, ಹಾಟ್ನೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ವಾಟರ್ ಈಸ್ ಇನ್ಸಿಡೆಂಟಲ್ ನೇಚರ್. ವಾಟರ್ ಈಸ್ ಬೈ ನೇಚರ್ ಎ ಕೂಲ್ ಲಿಕ್ವಿಡ್ ಎಂಟಿಟಿ, ಬಟ್ ವಿ ಫೈಂಡ್ ಹಾಟ್ ವಾಟರ್, ಹಾಟ್ ಕಾಫಿ. ಹೌ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಹಾಟ್? ವಿ ಸೇ ಇಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಬಾರೋಡ್ ದಿ ಹಾಟ್ನೆಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ಫೈರ್, ಬಟ್ ಹಾಟ್ನೆಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಫೈರ್ ಈಸ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೆನ್ಸಿಕ್ ನೇಚರ್. ಹಾಟ್ನೆಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಹಾಟ್ ವಾಟರ್ ಈಸ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಎ ಇನ್ಸಿಡೆಂಟಲ್ ನೇಚರ್, ಹಾಟ್ನೆಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಫೈರ್ ಈಸ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೆನ್ಸಿಕ್ ನೇಚರ್. ಸಿನ್ಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೆನ್ಸಿಕ್ ನೇಚರ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ರೀಸನ್ ಫೈರ್ ಈಸ್ ಹಾಟ್ ಎವ್ರಿವೇರ್, ವೆದರ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸೈಬೀರಿಯಾ ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ರಾಜಸ್ಥಾನ್ ಡೆಸರ್ಟ್. ಇನ್ ಸೈಬೀರಿಯಾ -30 degrees ಗೋಸ್. ವೆದರ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಮಾರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಆರ್ ಈವ್ನಿಂಗ್, ವೆದರ್ 1 lakh years ಬಿಫೋರ್ ಆರ್ ನೌ, ಎವ್ರಿ ಟೈಮ್ ಅಟ್ ಆಲ್ ಸಿಚುವೇಶನ್ಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಹಾಟ್, ಫೈರ್ ಈಸ್ ಹಾಟ್. ವೇರ್ ಎಸ್ ವಾಟರ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹಾಟ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೆನ್ಸಿಕಲಿ. Therefore, every object has two natures. One is intrinsic nature, another is incidental nature. When we see a pot, pot is an object. We see both intrinsic nature and incidental nature. Name and form of the pot, there is a form for a pot, particular form is there. That form and name of the pot enjoys existence at a particular time only. Before manufacturing, this pot was not there. After the destruction of pot, this pot is not going to be there. They are temporary, being a product, because pot is a product of clay or mud. So they have prag abhava. Abhava means non-existence. Non-existence before its origin, and pradhvamsa abhavaha, non-existence after its destruction. They are having temporary existence only. Since they are having temporary existence, we call it as incidental nature. But clay is clay all the time, isn't it? Before the creation of pot, clay is clay. After the creation of pot also, clay is clay. After the destruction of pot also, clay is clay. The clayness of the clay is intrinsic, but the potness of the clay is not intrinsic. Clayness of the clay is intrinsic nature. Clay is always having that clayness, but clayness doesn't have potness. It can be a jar, it can be a glass, whatever you want to make, you can make it. So here Shastra says that which doesn't have existence is not a real entity. They are called mithya vastu. During the existence of pot also, what we call as pot in reality is clay only. One more example I will give. Ornaments, golden ornaments. Before making them as an ornament, goldness of the gold existed. After making the ornaments also, ornaments are golden ornaments only. It is not a silver ornament. Once you make ornament, once you make gold as an ornament, it doesn't convert it as a silver or clay. It exists as gold only. That is why anybody knows, even the thief knows, that whatever may be the form of the gold, it is intrinsically a gold only. Even though we reject that, I don't want this bangle, I want a necklace, still we know that the intrinsic nature of the ornament is gold. That is not going to change that at all. So that which doesn't exist before and that which doesn't exist afterwards and that which exists only at a particular time is called apparent thing, is called mithya vastu. Ada vante cha yennasti vartamane pi tathata vitathai sadrusha santaha avitatha iva lakshitaha. Here Shastrakara says, even while when you use pot, in fact what you are using is clay only, isn't it? Even while when we are using golden ornaments, what we are wearing? Gold only. So here Shastra says, vacharambanam vikaro namadeyam. All the vikaras, all these introduction of name and form is nothing but namadeyam or vacharambanam. Mrittika ityeva satyam. Chandogya Upanishad nicely says, mrittika ityeva satyam vacharambanam vikaro namadeyam. All these incidental properties are nothing but introduction of certain name and form. They don't enjoy the intrinsic nature, intrinsic existence. Therefore they are called mithya vastu. Here in this shloka, this mithya vastu is called as asat. This mithya vastu is called asat. Satya vastu is called satyam, sat. So here Bhagavan says, asataha bhavaha na vidyate. Asataha means mithya vastunaha nama rupasya. There is no existence for name and form, even though they enjoy the temporary existence. As a pot it exists temporarily, as an ornament it exists temporarily, but still in the Shastric viewpoint that it doesn't have intrinsic existence. Sataha abhavaha na vidyate. First statement he told, asataha bhavaha na vidyate. Now second statement he says, sataha abhavaha na vidyate. For a permanent thing, for an intrinsic thing, there is a natural intrinsic existence. For a permanent thing, there is natural existence. Anayoho ubhayoho antaha drishtaha. Ubhayoho, here he says, ubhayoho means sat asat, atma anatma. Antaha means nirnayaha, difference. The difference between these two things, sat and asat, the difference between body and consciousness, the difference between name and form and the essential thing of a thing, these difference are known by the tattvadarshibhi, by the wise men. Generally when we see anybody, we see as a single person only, isn't it? When we see any object, any person, we see him or we see that object as a single entity. But here the wise man sees as a double entity. One entity is nama rupa, another entity is essence. When we see a pot, we see it as a pot only, but the pot maker sees it as two entities. One is the shape of the pot, another is the content of the pot. Similarly, when a wise man sees any person, he sees as a double entity. One is the name and form of that person, and another is the existential nature, the atmana swarupam. One is different from another, and one is mithya, another is satyam. So tattvam is the word here it is mentioned. Tattvam means thatness, that brahmatva bhava. Tad in Sanskrit means sarvanama. Sarvanama means a pronoun applicable to all nouns, isn't it? That person, when we call thatness, that is sarvanama, that is applicable for all nouns. Tvam means ness. Here there is a possibility of confusion. In Chandogya Upanishad it comes tat tvam asi. Tat tvam asi it says. There meaning is different, here meaning is different. There the meaning is tad bhagavan tvam jivaha asi. In that context. Here tad bhagavan or brahman or atman, that ness is there, that nature of that brahman is known by the people, they are called tattva darshibihi. That's why in Bhagavata there is a shloka, vadanti tat tattva vitaha tattvam yat jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. There are so many names for that tattva vastu. Some people call it as brahman, some people call it paramatman, some call it as bhagavan, but all these names are denoting only that brahman, that pronoun only. Tattva means brahma swarupam, satya swarupam. Tattva is different from matam. Matam means opinion. Tattva means reality. So tattva darshibhi means one who sees the reality, that is brahma swarupa darshibhi. These people who have that wisdom to see anything as a two separate entities, one is a external incidental nature called name and form, another is internal intrinsic nature called existence. What they see entire world is a mixture of nama rupam plus atma. Entire wave they see as a mixture of nama rupam, wave form plus water, human being as human body plus atma. Then after distinguishing, after separating this one single entity, they give mithyatvam, that is they give that mithyatvam. Mithyatvam means there is no reality at all, it doesn't exist at all, it appears to be as though existing. Therefore that nama rupa part they simply negate, but atma part is there, that is the satya vastu in their understanding. So every individual is a mixture of atma and body mind complex. Body mind complex being nama rupa is subject to change. Changes like birth, death, sukha, dukkha, shita, ushna, etc. Therefore I cannot depend upon the mithya nama rupa for my security, for my happiness, for my peace. What is the benefit of this knowledge? Here, as a person understands that nama rupa is different from sat atma, he doesn't depend upon nama rupa. He always depends upon the satya atma. Since he is always depending upon satya atma, he is not affected by changes of nama rupa vastu of body. Body being mithya, I accept all the situations in life. I don't have complaints, I don't have grumbling at all. Being mithya, dvandva cannot affect me. The very I, the atma, is satya vastu, body, the anatma, is mithya vastu, body cannot affect me. Either my body cannot affect me or others' body cannot affect me. In our life we see somebody's arrival, some body's arrival actually. Somebody arrived in our life means what? Some body has arrived in our life. So immediately either we are elated or we are depressed. So here the wise man says arrival of some body or departure of some body doesn't make any sense in my life, because I don't depend upon that arrival of that nama rupa, arrival of that body, either for my security or for my peace or for my happiness. I use nama rupa, I relate with that body, I use that body, but I don't have hatred towards that body. Though I find that there is an utility from that body, there is a utility from the child's body to the mother. As even the child arrives in the family, mother gets happy. But if the mother is a wise mother, she will accept the arrival of the body, but she doesn't depend upon the arrival of that particular child's body. If she depends upon particular child's body, what will be the fate. When the body dies, immediately mother feels that there is a hollowness in her life. She doesn't have anybody to depend upon. Here Vedanta says, never depend upon the nama rupa vastu, never depend upon the incidental nature of any person, depend upon the intrinsic nature of that person. Without hatred you can relate with that object. Without attachment you can relate with that object, because hatred also is equal to attachment. Here Bhagavan says you should not have attachment towards the body, because it is not intrinsic, it is incidental feature of atma. And if you depend upon that incidental feature, one day or the other it will deprive you. Therefore your dependence should be on the permanent entity called atma. You can have a chair which is made up of cardboard chair, you know. There is a chair which is kept in museum, but you cannot sit on that chair. What will happen? If you sit on the chair, you will fall down. Similarly, this entire nama rupa jagat, which includes my own body, which includes bodies of all my relatives, are like a cardboard chair. Never depend upon that, but you have to relate with them. When you relate with them without attachment and without hatred. So therefore Bhagavan here says, O Arjuna, just as wise men are free from sorrow through this wisdom, atma anatma viveka, just as they do not emotionally depend upon bodies or nama rupa jagat, just as they accept all the dvandvas as a mithya vastu, you also should be free from sorrow by having atma jnanam, by dropping emotional dependence on any temporary thing which includes your own body, by accepting all choiceless situations which happen to be experienced only by your body mind complex as mithya in nature. What is the problem of Arjuna? Problem of Arjuna is, I am going to kill Bhishma. Here Bhagavan separates the entity called Bhishma. What do you mean by Bhishma? If you mean Bhishma as Atma, then also you cannot worry about Bhishma the Atma's destruction, because Atma is Nitya Vastu, cannot be destroyed. If you mean Bhishma as body, then also you cannot worry, because Bhishma the body is subject to destruction only, subject to changes only. Being incidental nature, body of anybody is subject to change and subject to destruction. This wisdom, this atma anatma vivekaha we call, this wisdom makes a sense in our life. All our problems is because of absence of this wisdom, because of ignorance. A thing is appearing to us, immediately we take it for granted, that thing as a real thing, then immediately we try to relate with that, and then finally we get into trouble. Therefore Bhagavan here, after making atma anatma viveka, he is going to tell more and more about the nature of atma.
Avinashitu tad vidhi yena sarvamidam tatam vinasham avyayasyasya na kashchit kartum arhati.
More about atma swarupam is explained in this shloka. Three things are explained. One is, atma is a nitya vastu. Being nitya vastu, it is indestructible. It is indestructible. That is, you the atma or Bhishma the atma is indestructible. You can never kill Bhishma the atma. Bhishma the atma is kala paricheta rakitaha. What do you mean by death? What do you mean by death? Death means nothing but the destruction of the body, which happens in time. The body has a time limitation. Time limitation means we call it in Sanskrit kala parichetaha. Body only has this time limitation, but Bhishma the atma doesn't have time limitation. That is one point. Second point is, atma is sarvagataha. It is all pervasive. There is no many atmas. Your atma, my atma, Arjuna's atma, Bhishma's atma, nahi. ಓನ್ಲಿ ಒನ್ ಆತ್ಮ ಇಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಆಲ್ ಪರ್ವೇಸಿವ್ ಎಂಟಿಟಿ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದೇಶ ಪರಿಚೇತ ರಹಿತ ವಿ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್ ಅವರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಆಸ್ ಲಿಮಿಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಸ್ಪೇಸ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಸಿಟಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ಸೈಡ್ ದಿ ಹಾಲ್ ವಿ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್ ಅವರ್ ನ್ಯಾಚುರಲಿ ಇಟ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಐಡಿಯಾ ಈಸ್ ಬೇಸ್ಡ್ ಆನ್ ವಾಟ್ ಬೇಸ್ಡ್ ಆನ್ ದಿ ಲಿಮಿಟೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಬಾಡಿ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದಿಸ್ ಐಡಿಯಾ ವೆನ್ ಐ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ದಿ ಬಾಡಿ ಸಿನ್ಸ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಈಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಸ್ಪೇಷಿಯಲ್ ಲಿಮಿಟೇಷನ್ಸ್ 5 feet 6 inches or 100 kilos this spatial limitations of the body is superimposed on me the all pervasive entity so this is called ajnanam atma is sarvagataha therefore it is desha paricheta rahitaha first point is atma is nityaha therefore kala paricheta rahitaha it is not limited by time atma is sarvagataha all pervasive therefore it is not limited by space desha paricheta rahitaha third one is atma is asangaha atma means don't imagine somewhere else it is sitting atma means all the time you are I am kala paricheta rahitaha I am never subject to death at all I am desha paricheta rahitaha that means I am never subject to spatial limitations here bhagwan says ಏನ ಇದಂ ಸರ್ವಂ ತತಂ ಏನ ಆತ್ಮನ ಏನ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣ ಬೈ ವಿಚ್ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಎಂಟೈರ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಪರ್ವೇಡೆಡ್ ತದ್ ಅವಿನಾಶಿ ಇತಿ ತ್ವಂ ವಿದ್ಧಿ ತದ್ ಆತ್ಮ ದಟ್ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಅವಿನಾಶಿ ಇನ್ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಟಬಲ್ ನೋ ದಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಆತ್ಮ ದಿಸ್ ಯು ದಿ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ is indestructible avinashi avinashi means na vinashtum shilam atyaiti you cannot destroy at all there are two types of destruction one is natural destruction another is destruction forced from the external factors suppose you keep milk in a jar what happens after one day or two days it is automatically destroyed another is forced by external nature you want to convert it as curd so therefore you put a drop of curd in that milk immediately that milkness of the milk is destroyed and something other comes as a product therefore here bhagwan says avinashi iti atma as avinashi iti tvam vidhi vidhi means know that ascertain recognize internalize have a conviction that you the atma is indestructible like body is destructible by itself suppose you keep your body without doing anything slowly you will die naturally body will die then same body can be destroyed by any other external weapons also nashaha what do you mean by nashaha nashaha means going back to its own causal state is called nashaha so when we say body is destroyed what does it mean body is made up of panchabhautikam panchabhuta made up of panchabhuta that is why it is called panchabhautikam so as even body is destroyed the earth part of the body goes to earth the agni tattva of the body goes to agni the jala tattva of the body all these five tattvas are in our body so all these five tattvas disintegrate and they merge with the causal form because the body came from this pancha tattvas but atma being avyayaha why it is indestructible here bhagwan says it doesn't have any part it is not a product at all it doesn't have niravayavatva sarvagatatvat sarvagatatvat avyayaha bhagwan says yena sarvam idam tatam yena sarvam idam tatam means by which entire world is pervaded that means it is all pervasive thing cannot have any form all pervasive cannot have any part therefore niravayavatva ಸರ್ವಗತತ್ವಾದ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅವ್ಯಯಃ ನ ವೇದಿ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸ್ವರೂಪೇನ ಸೊ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಸರ್ವಗತಃ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅವ್ಯಯಃ ಒನ್ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ Then second part is, being sarvagataha, it is asangaha also. An all-pervasive entity cannot get attachment to anything. Suppose space is there. Can you catch the space? Can you have space pollution? There is no space pollution at all. What we call as space pollution is nothing but pollution in the atmosphere of the space. But space cannot be polluted. Why? It is all pervasive entity. It is there already everywhere. It doesn't have any form at all. Nobody has seen space. But all the time we are using space. In a room we call there is no space for 100 people. What does it mean? There is plenty of space. Only the usable space is limited. But the very limitations which is created by certain walls are existing where? Walls are existing where? Walls also are existing in space only. But inside the walls, there is one particular space, we call it as a utilizable space. But as a space, as a single entity, it is all pervasive. Therefore, it is asangaha. No external thing can have any relationship of even destroying is an action, is in a relationship, therefore that also it doesn't have. Asya avyayasya na kashchit vinasham kartum arhati. When Bhagavan told avinashi iti tvam viddhi, when he told, the difference is avinashi means it doesn't have destruction by its nature. And second thing is, na kashchit vinasham kartum arhati, when Bhagavan told, nobody can destroy it. No external factor has the capacity to destroy it. Two types of destruction we saw. One is by its very nature it is getting destroyed. Another is somebody destroys it. Both the destruction are not applicable for Atma. While commenting this shloka, Shankaracharya says, Ishwaropi. It's a beautiful word. Even Bhagavan cannot destroy Atma. Terrorists cannot destroy Atma, we understand. Terrorists can destroy only body. Terrorists cannot destroy Atma. Even Bhagavan also cannot, the omnipotent Bhagavan cannot do only one thing. What it is? He cannot destroy me, the Atma. So, therefore, Atma can never be destroyed, either by its own nature or by other external thing. Discovery of my immortal nature is called redemption, is called wisdom. Bhishma, the Atma, cannot be destroyed. Therefore, you cannot be worried about the destruction of Bhishma, the Atma, nor you can worry about Bhishma, the Anatma. Why? Bhishma, the Anatma, the body is Anitya Vastu. Antavanta ime deha nityasyokta sharirinaha anashino prameyasya tasmad yudhyasva bharat. I am enjoying, I don't know how you are enjoying. Here there is no story, there is no joke, because you cannot have. This is a pure science, science of spiritual wisdom. Only thing we have to remember is, whenever we claim I, we generally mean our body. That idea should be taken away. I is equal to consciousness, and body is a place wherein this consciousness manifests. This knowledge has to come in our mind. This knowledge has a great relevance in our life. All our problems is because of this ignorance that I is equal to body. Therefore, the body is subject to, by nature it is subject to destruction. By nature it is subject to sukha and dukkha. Destruction or sukha, dukkha of the body-mind complex is attributed to me, the ever-existing satya vastu, by ignorance. Therefore only I consider somebody's problem as my problem. Somebody dies, why I am not crying? Because it is somebody's problem. I understand, a dog dies, I am not crying. Why? Because it is somebody's dog. If the same dog is my dog, immediately I also cry. That I-ness is extended there in the form of my dog, in the form of possession. therefore only it is connected. If I consider my body as somebody other than myself, whatever happens to that body, I am not at all bothered about. I accept that it is the nature of a body, that it has arrived at particular time and it is going to go with all changes, with all parinama. So this wisdom has a great relevance in our life. Here in this shloka, Bhagavan explains the word asat. In the 16th shloka, he has introduced two words, sat, asat. Nasato vidyate bhavaha. Asat he has introduced. Nabhavo vidyate sataha. Sat he has introduced. In the 16th shloka, he has introduced two words. In 17th shloka, he explained the word called sat. The word called existence, he has explained. What is the nature of that existence? It is not subject to any destruction. It is all pervasive. It is an asanga vastu. Therefore, you cannot worry about that. Now he explains in this shloka the word asat. Three points are mentioned in this shloka. One is dehaha, which is asat vastu, is subject to destruction. Body is subject to destruction. Then body does not have independent existence. It is a mithya vastu. What is the meaning of mithya? Asat means non-existence, we say, na? Asat means non-existence. There are two types of non-existence. One is, it doesn't exist at all the three periods of time. Like a rabbit's horn. Rabbit's horn. Any one of us has seen? Nobody has seen. But there is a word called rabbit's horn. It is not existing at all the periods of time. So it is called tuccham. Tuccham in Sanskrit. That is non-existent at all the periods of time. Another non-existent is, it is not existing before its production. It is not going to exist after its destruction. It exists only at a particular time. That is called apparent existence or mithya. So, in Vedanta they say, na, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. Brahma Satyam means Brahman exists as existing entity at all the three periods of time. Brahman exists as a permanent entity. When we say Jagat Mithya, we don't say Jagat is not there. We don't say Jagat is not there. We say Jagat is there apparently. It appears to us, it has some utility, it has some purpose. Rabbit's horn doesn't have any utility at all. But this world, this body has some utility, this body has some purpose. What is that purpose? Gaining this wisdom. This body-mind complex has some purpose, some utility. What is that? Gaining this wisdom that I am different from this mithya dehaha. So second point he has told, first point is dehaha is subject to destruction. Second point is dehaha doesn't have independent existence. It has existence, but that existence is borrowed from the satya atma. Pot exists as pot. Pot has utility. Pot has appearance. Pot has name. But it doesn't exist as independent of clay. Ornaments have dependent existence. They don't exist as independent existence. So therefore only it is called mithya. Therefore it is subject to arrival and departure. Third one is atma is aprameyaha. In the introduction for second chapter, we saw there are 6 or 7 nature of atma, which is revealed by the scriptures alone. You don't get this information through any sense organs. This information about myself, atma means myself. This information about myself, I don't get through any other source of knowledge. I get only through Shastra. What are they? Atma, I am Satya Vastu, I am Nitya Vastu, I am Nirvikara Vastu, I am Sarvagata Vastu, I am Akarta, I am Abhokta, I am Asangaha, I am Aprameyaha. All these details about myself. Because the entire life is governed by the details about myself. I have details about myself based on my body. Since the body is having male gender, I consider as a male. Since the body belongs to human species, I consider myself as human. Here Shastra says, you are neither human, nor male or nor female. You are the all-pervasive entity who don't have any form at all. These informations one by one is revealed by the Lord here. In the 12th and 13th shloka, he has revealed Atma Nityaha. Then 14th shloka and 15th shloka went some diversion, Anatma Anityaha. 16th shloka again he came back and he told Atma Satyaha. And in 17th shloka he told Atma Sarvagataha, Atma Asangaha. Then in 18th shloka he is telling that Atma is Aprameyaha. Aprameyaha word, this word we have already seen, ever existing as the knower or the subject, never an object of knowledge. Prameyaha means an object of knowledge. I see this mic. This mic is called Prameyaha. It's an object of my seeing. It's an object of my knowledge. Like that, anywhere do you see Atma in marketplace or in street? Anywhere do you see Bhagavan? No, you cannot see the Atma. Here Bhagavan says, Ime Dehaha Antavantaha. All these bodies, including Bhishma's body and your body and my body also. Krishna includes his own physical body also in the Ime Dehaha Antavantaha. These bodies are subject to destruction. Antavantaha means, Antaha means Nashaha. Antaha Vinashaha Vityate Yeshamte Antavantaha. One, that which is endowed with destruction is called Antavantaha. Being arrived at a particular time, having date of birth, having date of birth, and being a product of Pancha Bhutas, Pancha Bhautikam, it is subject to depart and it is subject to destruction also. Being destructible, it is depend on Atma for its temporary existence. Accept the destruction of all bodies including Bhishma's. It is asat, it is mithyavastu. So it is having a temporary existence, it has some utility, it has some temporary existence. That temporary existence also is borrowed from you, the consciousness. Here Bhagavan uses the word sharirinaha ime dehaha antavantaha, he says. Sharirinaha, sixth conjugation is applied here. Those who know grammar, it is possessive case. Shariri, shariram is body. Shariri means one who has body. That means one who has body means a body is the possession of something called shariri, something called atma, something called consciousness. This sixth vibhakti is to reveal that temporary existence which is enjoyed by the body, that also it doesn't belong to body, it is lent by Atma only. That is, body doesn't have existence at all periods of time as its intrinsic nature. Body doesn't exist before its origin. Body doesn't exist after its destruction. Body exists at particular time. But that existing time also, that existence doesn't belong to body, it belongs to the Atma. Therefore, even while body is alive, we say it doesn't exist. Even while keeping the pot, even while carrying the pot water, I happily say through that wisdom of clay, clay wisdom it is called. Even while having the pot, even while using the pot, even while carrying the water in the pot, I happily say pot doesn't exist at all. Clay only exists. Therefore, I don't bother about the destruction of the pot. Similarly, there is a mirage water. Many of you might have seen. It appears in hot places like a desert. Because of sand, hotness of the sand, for us it appears as a water. But even while when it is appearing as water, not a single drop of water is there. Isn't it? It appears as a big lake with full of water. When you run towards it, what happens? There is no a single drop of water. Therefore, that existence of the mirage water is the existence of the sand. Like blue sky. Sky appears to us as a blue entity. Where is the blueness? There is no blueness. But it appears as blue sky. All these are all visual errors we call. There are certain visual errors which belong to eyes. There are certain visual errors which belong to mind. All these external examples are visual errors which belong to eyes. But this ignorance with regard to my real nature is mental visual error. So this mental visual error is removed by Shastra. Understanding or recognizing the mithyatvam of that body, understanding and recognizing the non-existence or apparent existence of the body while living is the way for freedom. We all search for that freedom, freedom from spatial limitations and time-wise limitations. We all search for infinite thing called happiness. We all search for Purnatva. There should not be any limitation. Purnatva means it doesn't have any limitation at all. So we all search for that. What is the way? Here Shastra says, Bhagavan says, that understanding the mithyatvam, understanding the limitation of the body belongs to body. What we understand now, the limitations of the body belongs to me, we understand. So here Bhagavan says, understand that limitations of the spatial limitations, time-wise limitations of the body belongs to body only. Hand it over to that body, you live happily. While handling them, you are separated from that body. There was a story in Bible, it comes. The people wanted to catch Jesus Christ, telling that he is spreading a lot of blasphemous teachings, he is spoiling the generation like that. So they wanted to catch him by some mistake. So that time the Jews were under Roman control. These Jews were using that Roman coin. They brought that coin and asked Jesus, should we pay tax to Roman Empire or not? If Jesus say you don't pay, if Jesus say you don't pay, immediately he will be arrested by the Roman Empire. If Jesus say you pay, immediately he will be considered accepting the slavery. Therefore he is not Messiah. They were considering one particular group, his disciples are considering him as a Messiah or a person who has come to free them. Jesus came to this world to free the humanity from the mental ignorance, but they considered him as a person who came to free from the physical slavery. He came to free us from mental slavery, but they considered him as a Messiah to free from physical slavery. So they wanted to catch him. Then Jesus Christ asked, bring that coin. In that coin there is a face, emperor's face. Then he asked, whose face this is? They told it is the face of Roman Emperor. So he told, give the coin which belongs to Roman Emperor to the Roman Emperor. Give that which belongs to Roman Emperor to the Roman Emperor and you be free. Similarly here Vedanta says, give the attributes of the body to the body. Hand over the attributes of the body. What are the attributes? It is subject to arrival and departure. It is subject to sukha, dukkha, mana, apamana. These attributes are attributes of body. Therefore, you give it to that. Now what we have done? We have already taken it on ourselves. So you be a asanga vastu. You be a detached person from your own body. This detachment born out of wisdom that I am all pervasive entity. I cannot have association with anybody at all. Because I am satya vastu. They are all impermanent thing. They are all mithya vastu. I am satya vastu. I am permanent thing. I cannot have any association with anybody at all. Equal association. I can have association with mithya vastu. I can dream a dream. Who is dreaming? Waker is dreaming. So association with mithya vastu I can have, but it is not going to affect me once I find that it is mithya, it is a temper. Nobody is affected by dream. Nobody bothers about loss in dream. Why? Because it is proved while waking, it is proved that the dream world, the dream loss, the dream divert, all are nothing but a temporary visual error. Similarly, this vyavaharika jagat also should be negated as a dream or a mithya vastu. Just as a dream body is destroyed by waking up, I am dreaming, there is a dream body, I am there in the dream also, somebody is chasing me, I am running, that body is running, na? That body is destroyed when I get up from the dream body is destroyed. Just as mirage water is destroyed by knowing the sand. How you destroy mirage water? How you destroy mirage water? Ordinary waters are destroyed by fire. Mirage water is destroyed by what? Mirage water is destroyed by the simple knowledge that it is a not water at all, it is nothing but sand, it is an appearance. Similarly, we should destroy our body attachment, that is deha abhimana, that I am the body, by knowing its mithyatvam, by knowing the reality of our real nature through Vedanta Pramana. There is a notion that I exist as body in our mind. Very concretely it is there. Anybody you ask, who are you, he will tell his biodata. All biodatas are belong to only body. Date of birth belong to body. Father belong to body. Height belong to body. Weight of course belong to body. And education belong to mind, which is also a subtle form of body. All biodata which we have about ourselves is belong to body only. Through knowledge about my reality, I detach myself from all the attributes of the body. I end the notion that I exist as body through wisdom. This ending is called Jivan Mukti. After this also, he will have body. After knowledge also, Swami Vivekananda worked, Sri Ramakrishna worked. They ate, they slept, but they are not affected by the body. When Sri Ramakrishna was having cancer, a doctor came to treat that cancer. Sri Ramakrishna, so far he was complaining, as though he was complaining, I am having pain. Suddenly when doctor came, he held the cheek of the doctor like that. You treat my cancer, I will treat your cancer. He was telling to the doctor. Doctor was a new man. He could not understand. What is this fellow, mad or what? He is telling, you treat my cancer, I will treat your cancer. I don't have cancer at all. Doctor thought, I don't have cancer at all. He is telling, you treat my cancer, I treat your cancer. So what Sri Ramakrishna meant? You treat the cancer belong to my body, I treat cancer belong to your mind, which is called Ajnana. And finally that doctor became very great devotee of Sri Ramakrishna and got lot of spiritual help from Sri Ramakrishna. So here Bhagavan says, you hand over the attributes of the body to the body and be separate entity, be an all-pervasive entity without any attachment. Therefore, nityasya sharirinaha anashinaha ime dehaha antavantaha iti ukta. Like this it is told. Told by whom? Told by Shastra, told by Manishinaha, by wise people. Three points he wanted to tell. Dehaha is subject to destruction, he told. Antavante ime deha. It is subject to destruction, he told. Second is, sharirinaha ime dehaha antavantaha, by telling that all the bodies are mithyavastu. Third one is, aprameyasya, atma is aprameya vastu. That means, pratyakshadi pramanaihi na prameyaha. Prameyaha, I told, an object of knowledge. Any object, what we see, what we recognize, is called a prameya vastu. But atma is aprameya vastu, not known by any pramana. It is not available for any sense organs. It is not available even for mind as a concept. There are certain things which are not available for sense organs, but which are available for mind as concepts, love, hatred, intelligence, these are all concepts. So these are all there. It is neither available for sense organs, nor it is available for mind also. It is not an object of knowledge. Then it may not be there at all. It may not be there at all. If it is not available for my sense organs and mind, it is not there at all. So how can you prove that it is existing? It may be like emperor's dress. You know emperor's dress? One emperor did not dress at all. He want to come out and he want to find out an intelligent person in his country. So he told those people, whoever is pure mind, they will see that I am dressed. Whoever is having sinful mind, they will see I am naked. With that declaration he came out. So who will accept I am having sinful mind? Who will accept that I am impure? They told, yes, 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 there is a dress, beautiful dress is there. It is golden ornamented like that. But that fellow is actually not dressed at all. But everybody accepted, yes, there is a dress, there is a dress. But suddenly one child came and told, ayya, yeah, why this man is without dress? Because that child doesn't have that idea of purity or impurity. It is just seeing the fact as the fact. Similarly, there may not be Atma at all. Just because all the rishis say, should we accept? Just because all people told that the emperor is having dress, even though he is not having dress. Similarly, just because some rishis say, should we accept? Here Bhagavan says, here it is Svatasiddhavastu. There is no need for any proof for its existence. There is a need for a proof of the existence of the mic. Somebody has to see it, isn't it? But for the existence of Atma, there is no need for. Why? How? Because the very fact, the very statement that I don't exist is there, na? Will be possible because of your existence only. You should exist as an existing entity. You should exist as an existing entity to say even I don't exist. You should be God to say that there is no God. And people say that there is no God. What is the proof? They say that we don't have any perception at all. Nobody saw God. It is not available. There is tree, everybody accepts. There is mic, everybody accepts. There is a table, everybody accepts. Why? Everybody happen to see. But there is no God, they say. Why? What is the reason? They give reason that I am not able to see. Shastra here says, though it is not available for any sense perception, its existence can never be denied. Like a photographer can never be denied. Even though he is not available inside the photo, our camera can never be denied. Existence of camera, existence of photographer can never be denied, even though camera and photographer don't exist in the photo. You see, the entire world is like a picture, like a photo. You see, everything other than God, everything other than consciousness. Here Shastra says, though it is not available in the picture called Jagat, as a visible entity, its existence can never be denied, because Naham asmi iti na kashchit na veda. That means I don't exist. Nobody can say this. Why? To say this you should exist. Na aham asmi iti na kashchit veda. I don't exist. Whether so and so person is there, if anybody asks, you say I will go and verify it. If somebody asks, do you exist? Then immediately you will say, yes, I exist. You cannot say that I don't exist. Very sense organs work because of my presence. Though I am not proved by the sense organs, but very sense organs, Shrotriya Shrotram, Shrotriyasya Shrotram, Manaso Manoyat, Vachoham Vacham, Savu Pranasya Pranaha. So, my Aprameyatva, that I am not available for sense perception, cannot deny my existence. All other objects are denied. I say, there is no rabbit's horn. Why? Nobody has seen. Therefore, it is not available. Similarly, you cannot deny the existence of myself, my existence. So, Bhagavan is going to deal with this. And more details we will see in the next class. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranadakleshanashaya ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ.